audio extracts from or of the book from -95, 30 years back, but timeless wisdom is this. Conversations beyond the light. Communication with departed friends and colleagues by electronic means. Dr. Pat Cubis and Mark Macy. Introduction. After first grasping the idea of death, young children often ask a variant of the question, what happens after we die? Parents are usually at a loss about how to answer, since they have not yet arrived at their own answer. Every culture, every generation, every individual wants to know the answer to, if a man dies, shall he live again? Even the space capsule sent by NASA out beyond our solar system contained questions asking possible other inhabitants of our universe if they had found an answer to the question of death. The relevance of this question becomes apparent when we consider our life's purpose and the limited time we have to fulfill it. Does our consciousness come into existence only to be snuffed out at the end of our lifespan? Or are there levels or cycles of existence beyond the present reality which continue or carry further our earthly endeavors? If so, then every thought and action has meaning far beyond the present. The advent of modern science led to the Enlightenment period of the 17th century and the belief that all problems could be solved by either reason or the scientific method. Galileo asked the Church Fathers to look through his telescope and trust their five senses rather than to blindly believe Church doctrine, which held that Earth is the center of our solar system. This empirical method of proof, that is posing a hypothesis and, with strict controls, guiding the experiment to its unbiased results, alas, led the Western mind to doubt all experiences not provable in this manner. Yet always there were some who experienced events unexplainable by science or so-called rational thinking. The mystical union, the oneness, experienced by Christian mystics, the Sufis of Islam, Native American shamans, and described in the Jewish Kabbalah, cannot easily be dismissed. When Buddha admonished his followers to not unquestioningly accept his teachings, but to trust their experience, he was referring to not just the five senses, but also humans' inner, subjective experiences. These inner experiences of dimensions beyond our earthly life, while anecdotal, were until recently not verifiable by traditional methods. Our authors have taken on a task which clearly necessitates what physicist Thomas Kuhn calls the new paradigm, that is to look at events from a whole new perspective, and in the author's case explore the soul's transcendence beyond this earthly life of human consciousness. The authors and the psychic laboratories they collaborated with, presented their findings with the help of sophisticated electronic equipment not available previously. Skeptics also object to reports of different kinds of so-called near-death experience or NDE, first reported by Raymond Moody, MD. While the majority of individuals declared clinically dead are transported through a tunnel toward a white light, others take a different, and some even extremely frightening journey. Likewise, throughout the years, other realms of existence have been variously described by those who had them, as heaven or hell, nirvana or purgatory, bliss or the place of a thousand wrathful gods. These disparate accounts added fuel to the fire of skeptics. However, the authors of Conversations Beyond the Light present a fresh point of view by describing the astral plane as multidimensional, consisting of seven levels. This helps us understand the varieties of near-death experiences described in the literature over the last 20 years. It also gives us a better understanding of the many different descriptions and messages of those souls who are able to communicate with relatives and friends on this earthly plane. Many volumes have been written about people able to contact spirit guides, archannelers, or give psychic readings. From the reports and experiences of the authors, it appears that all of them could be true because of the much broader, multidimensional views given us by Mark Macy and Pat Cubis. In a foreword to W.Y. Evans Wendt's translation of Tibetan Book of the Dead, Lama Anagarika Govinda says, "There is not one person, indeed, not one living being, that has not returned from death. In fact, we all have died many deaths, before we came into this incarnation. And what we call birth is merely the reverse side of death, like one of the two sides of a coin, or like a door which we call entrance from outside and exit from inside a room. It is much more astonishing that not everyone remembers his or her previous death, and, because of this lack of remembering, most persons do not believe there was a previous death. But likewise, they do not remember their recent birth, and yet they do not doubt that they were recently born. While until the recent past only the rare visionary delved into the realms our authors refer to as beyond the light, interest in these transpersonal dimensions now comes from many quarters. And best of all, Macy and Cubise offer their readers a concrete method by which they can explore for themselves realms that proved until now too difficult to explore. Elton Davis, ed.D. Professor Emeritus, Pasadena City College. Prologue. In 1976, the great yogi Santkeshavadas casually remarked at a lecture in India that by the end of the century, we would be able to pick up a phone and call friends, loved ones, and colleagues who have died. Even before that, in 1936, theosophist Alice Bailey predicted that those who had passed over will communicate with Earth, and this communication will be reduced to a true science. Death will lose its terrors, and that particular fear will come to an end. One today, in Luxembourg, and in many countries all over the world, the prophecies of Bailey and Santkeshavadas have come true. One Handbook of PSI Discoveries by Sheila Ostrander and Lynn Schroeder, Barclay Publishing Corporation, p. 264. A new science is being born, the science of instrumental transcommunication, ITC. Today, using high-tech communication, the dead are now transmitting information to our scientists in pictures, text, and voice via television screens, computers and telephones. Now, a deceased scientist can speak via television to a room full of scientists on Earth. The undisputed leaders of this new science of ITC, Jules and Maggie Hirschfisbach, who run the Transcommunication Study Circle of Luxembourg, SETL, received the Swiss Award for Paranormal Discoveries in Bern in 1992. Right now, in Luxembourg, Germany, and other countries, various TV programs are tracing the development of ITC. Dozens of dead scientists, including Thomas Alva Edison, Albert Einstein, Madame Curie, and their colleagues, are engaged in a project to communicate with the Earth. This is not science fiction. It is happening daily in sound labs in the United States, Australia, Austria, Belgium, England, Germany, France, Luxembourg, Italy, the Netherlands, Spain, Sweden and Switzerland. Curiously, the Bible says, 1 Cor. 15:26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. While many theologians have noted the enigmatic scripture, it is doubtful any of them could even imagine how the grim reaper was to be destroyed. Yet, today, in our time, the dead are transmitting their faces on television, transmitting the locale where they live, and describing their lives in their afterlife locale. All of the evidence documented by scientists and research groups on Earth indicates that there is no death, that individuality continues in another dimension. In Luxembourg, a distraught mother can hook up via television with her deceased son, who sends a picture of himself smiling and very much alive in another dimension. A grief-stricken family can communicate with a young son who was brutally murdered and see that he is happy and healed of his wounds. We are privileged to be living in this most astounding time, when some of the greatest mysteries of life, its purpose and design, are being revealed. Some of the world's churches will find their teachings vindicated, others will have to meet the challenge of new scientific data. Amazingly, the Vatican has known of the research on instrumental transcommunication for years and even has authorized its own research people to explore the subject. To reincarnation, which has been regarded as only a philosophic doctrine, is now corroborated by the dead who are quite alive in another dimension. 2 Handbook of PSI Discoveries p. 267. How this greatest of all discoveries began is a story as compelling as the discovery of atomic science. Even more compelling is the array of over 1,000 spirit scientists and colleagues in a world beyond our own, who are committing their existence and their talents to this vast project. At last, the veil of death has been penetrated. 1. The world of the dead. Death is a new beginning. Ernst Max died on November 26, 1992. He was a good friend of Maggie and Jules Hirschfisbach, directors of SETL, a paranormal lab in Luxembourg investigating the continuity of life after death. When Maggie turned on her computer, on February 4, 1993, she found a message from Ernst. "Jules," she cried to her husband, "it's from Ernst." Excited, they watched the printer print out a text from another dimension. "At the moment I am sitting here under a roof of exotic palm tree leaves. I am trying to focus my thoughts into a sort of typewriter which is sitting in front of me on the glass plate of a small bamboo table." As you know, on November 26, 1992, the body of Ernst Max was definitely left in the earthly dimension and my spiritual power, my soul, was set free. During the last few years, it could magnify only weakly over my sick body. I was in the position of a pilot who could not control his aircraft anymore. But all this is over and now am I here on Marduk and have finally found my beloved Margaret, his deceased wife, again. When I arrived here I was understandably confused. Because of my illness, I could not immediately think or see clearly. With the help of friendly people, among them my father and other former acquaintances from Earth, I soon learned to use my mental and physical powers effectively again. Wounds and amputations take some time to heal and regenerate here. Old age reverts backwards. Every hour, one slowly feels a strength flow back into the body that was lost long ago. For people who are mentally disabled, this recovery happens slowly and in steps. I am now the old Ernst again, or should I say the new Ernst. Above me is the light of our three suns. Temperatures are very moderate, and in the clear morning air numerous multicolored hummingbirds are buzzing around me. Butterflies of incredible beauty, some of them as large as soup plates, are flapping their wings and settle down on blossoms and plants. Before me is a refreshing glass of lemonade. In the distance the sunlight is reflecting in the river of eternity which is visible behind a yellow sand beach. Margaret and I often swim in the pleasant water and enjoy our newly discovered young bodies. On March 4, 1993, QBTL received a scan picture of the now much younger Ernst on their computer. Spirit technicians at Time Extreme Space Lab, a super high technology communications lab located in the spirit world, planted the scanned image on the computer's hard disk. See Plate 1. This was all in a day's work for Maggie and Jules at SETL, who for the past 6 years have been receiving messages from the dead via television, telephone, radio, tape recorder and computer. The account of life after death provided by Ernst Max tallies with the experiences of other deceased researchers who, after death, find themselves alive on the astral plane. 1. An invisible plane or world composed of finer atoms, which shares the same space as Earth. Many religions say it is where the spirit temporarily resides after death, the spirit world. In their communications with SETL, their experiences are remarkably similar. "We have a body like yours. It consists of finer matter and vibration than your dense, coarse physical bodies. There is no sickness here. Missing limbs regenerate. Bodies that are disfigured on Earth become perfect. We live in comfortably furnished houses. The countryside is very beautiful. The average age of people here is 25-30 years. Persons who die of old age on Earth wake up here after a regenerating sleep. This sleep lasts approximately 6 weeks of Earth time. With some persons it may be less. Spirit communicators say people have their original hair, teeth and other body parts and, yes, sex does indeed exist there, but without pregnancy." Communicators add that those people who have had a debilitating illness or who have been mutilated by accident or murder, need a brief recuperative period to restore the astral body to its healthy, normal state. Thoughts of disease or mutilation are carried in the mind and our mind constructs or templates. Disease depletes the energy body. It takes time for the energy body to regenerate and for the healing technicians to help reveal to the newly dead person that he or she is no longer sick or maimed. For example, the person with an amputated leg carries a strong mind construct or template of a missing leg. Even though the astral body is perfect, how the person sees the self in his or her mind has a great deal to do with how the astral body appears to others. When the healing technicians are able to convince the person that his or her visualization of self controls the appearance of the astral body, then the person is able to create the desired image of self. Consequently, most people on the astral plane choose to depict themselves at an age when they were healthiest and most handsome or beautiful or their prime. Yet if wearing glasses is part of that image of self, the person may choose to depict himself or herself with glasses. Yogis say that masters who travel the astral plane often choose an older astral body simply for the benefit of their disciples who are used to seeing their master in an older body. The main point is that the astral plane is a world of energy and thoughts control energy. The information about the astral plane that Jules and Maggie Hirschfisbach are slowly but surely gathering at last provides hard evidence of what the kingdom of the dead is like here, but the data paints, instead, a picture of a kingdom of the very much alive. Perhaps Plato was right. He insisted that we are the ones who are dead and that the dead are really alive. One former colleague, Friedrich G. Jensen, who died in 1987 and joined the staff of Time Stream on the astral plane, reported in 1993, "All thoughts are basically nothing but telepathy. In our view, the human eye is blind, for it prevents the recognition of existing possibilities and extrasensory perception. A blind person in your reality is better off in the spiritual sense than a person with eyesight." Scientists on the other side say that communication on the astral plane is telepathic, so they do not need larynxes or other speech equipment which is necessary to human beings. However, their lack of speech organs has made communication with those who live on Earth difficult. Until now. With the advent of television, computers, and fax machines, those on the astral plane have been able to build an electronic bridge which makes communication between the two worlds possible. The research that employs such electronic bridges to contact the spirit worlds is called instrumental transcommunication or ITC. Experimenters in ITC receive images, text and simulated voices from their spirit colleagues, who say they can manufacture voices reminiscent of their Earth voices by the use of apparatuses on their side of the veil. These apparatuses can soak up noise on Earth, such as the hiss between radio stations, and turn it into artificial voices. ITC of this type is fairly new, having begun in the mid-1980s. Before that, in the 1950s, the dead began to make contact through audio tapes. Research was conducted by thousands of people, much of it under strict laboratory conditions, and hundreds of thousands of short, faint spirit voices were collected over the years. One man, a Latvian psychologist named Konstantin Rodive, collected over 75,000 voices on tapes and documented over 15,000 of them. He presented his research in a book, Breakthrough, which startled the scientific community. Rodive, using an ordinary tape recorder, would sit quietly alone, address departed friends and loved ones, and ask them questions. Then he would let the tape recorder run in his laboratory for several hours, monitoring it. The dead answered his questions and explained that they could modulate sound waves with their thoughts to simulate voice patterns. They told him to turn a radio on in the laboratory and to tune it between stations where static or white noise was present. They then used the vibrations of the white noise to create words. They also said they had developed an apparatus which helped them to make the voice patterns audible to DeSettl, and a growing number of other sound labs throughout the world are engaged in ITC experiments with the spirit group Time Stream, who says its facilities are located in the third plane of the astral world on a planet named Marduk. Spirit workers describe Time Stream, whose purpose is to communicate with Earth, as being the size of a large cathedral with very advanced video and sound equipment, so advanced that it has been having a hard time communicating with us because our equipment is so primitive. The director of Timestream is a scientist, Swegen Salter, who reports that she was born, lived and died on the planet Virid, a parallel planet of Earth. Since her death in 1987, approximate Earth time, she has been living on the astral planet, Marduk. She leads a small team of experimenters, among them Thomas Alva Edison, Marie Curie, Wernher von Braun, and Albert Einstein, are all who are part of the large group of colleagues in the spirit group Timestream. The Timestream group is in daily contact with colleagues in sound labs in various countries. At present, those countries include the United States, Australia, Austria, Belgium, Brazil, China, England, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Luxembourg, the Netherlands and Sweden. The Timestream research team also includes Konstantin Rohrdyve, now deceased, but very much alive on the astral plane, as well as Friedrich Jensen and Klaus Schreiber, both of whom when living on Earth were key researchers in spirit audio and video transmissions. Other members of the team are Dr. Conrad Lorenz, father of modern ethology, writers Sir Conan Doyle and Jules Verne, and explorer Sir Richard Francis Burton. Filmmakers George Cukor and Hal Roach provide film expertise to help with artistic considerations in television transmission. A key point these researchers are establishing is that one can continue one's work, if one wishes, on the other side. See Plates 912, on October 4, 1986. Settle received its first video image from their spirit partners. Maggie and Jules recorded it on a VHS recorder with a Panasonic A2 video camera. The image of man, Pierre K., appeared on the TV screen for a duration of 4/50 THS of a second. Earlier they had received audio transmissions from Pierre via a previously established electronic bridge known as the Euro Signal Bridge, and had recorded them on tape. But now they could actually see him. Being Settle's first paranormal video image, the picture of Pierre K. was quite hazy and distorted. Still, Pierre K.'s family identified him immediately. Soon Settle began receiving many paranormal video images from the spirit world, including one of a former friend and colleague, Hannah Bushbeck. Hannah had been working with audio transmission, but had recently passed away. She had been living in Heilbronn, Germany and founded the German Electronic Voice Association to track and document early paranormal sound research in Europe. The first video transmissions only lasted a split second. The major technical difficulty preventing longer transmissions was the primitive audio and visual equipment in use on Earth. Spirit side colleagues began making suggestions about how to improve the equipment. However, a major technical problem was encountered when it was found that certain metals existing in their subtle dimension do not exist in our dense physical world. Substitutions had to be made, and finding the right substitute took time. As new equipment was developed and modified, longer picture sequences came through as well as pages and pages of computer text. Through practical experience, however, Settle soon learned that the biggest obstacle to ITC contacts is not technical in nature. It involves the energy field that is created when two or more beings become aware of each other. This field is then strengthened when the beings start collaborating in a close psychic and spiritual rapport. Settle scientists call this a contact field, and it doesn't matter how advanced the equipment or the level of expertise. Real success cannot be achieved in ITC contacts until this contact field is firmly established across dimensions. Spirit scientists warn that the reception of their messages can be seriously affected by mankind's thoughts, which are nothing more than energy vibrations. Aggressive, fearful attitudes prevent the further development of good, noise-free, two-way voice communication with other dimensions, and it is time that this is said. Some people would be shocked to know how destructive their thoughts can be to themselves and to the bridge-building efforts of the other side. Transcommunication is like a sensitive net of vibrations which can only spread out in the world if people can find mutual understanding. We each should strive for a level of progression where we no longer need to attack our fellow man. So even though communication can occur through television and phone, the clarity of transmission depends on the contact field, the thoughts of those receiving the transmission. Maggie and Jules discovered, at their large open meetings, that if a group of people had negative thoughts about IDC, their negative vibrations seriously affected the vibrations coming from the astral plane. However, time stream scientists believe that as more and more powerful equipment is developed, the contact field will not be nearly as important as it is now. Using the progression of television as an analogy, it could be explained like this: when television was first introduced, signals were weak, and if there were any mountains or trees in the way, the reception was extremely poor. Now, with the use of satellites and cable, a good, strong television signal can be received virtually anywhere regardless of the previous obstacles. By 1993, television transmission was beginning to play a less important role in the overall ITC project. The research team on the other side was now able to access the hard drives of computers on Earth and to leave detailed, computer-scanned images as well as several pages of text. The computer-scanned images were far more detailed and less subject to distortion than the video images. Researchers on Earth can direct questions to researchers on the other side and receive answers by telephone, radio, TV, computer or, in late 1993, even by fax. Recently, phone calls from Konstantin Rodive of Timestream were received in Luxembourg, Germany, the US, Brazil, Sweden, China and Japan, over 3-month period. Cecil in Luxembourg receives an average of 3 paranormal telephone calls per week. What's behind these transmissions? From the spirit world? When Maggie and Jules were just starting out in the summer of 1986, a high-pitched, mechanical-sounding voice was received on an FM tuner and the entity identified himself as a higher being who had no name. "Call me technician," he said. He gave Maggie and Jules instructions on how to modify the equipment at the Luxembourg lab for better reception. He had the memory of a computer and said he had never lived on Earth. But he was an important part of the research team on the other side. He went on to say, "I am not human, I never incarnated, I am not and never was an animal. I am not energy and I am not a light being. You are familiar with the picture of two children walking across the bridge under the protection of a higher being, an angel. This is what I am to you, but without the wings. You can call me technician. I am assigned to the planet Earth." Some of the researchers at SETL regard him as an angelic being and some as a doorkeeper between two dimensions. Recently, the technician told of the difficulties the spirit workers have had in building a mediumistic bridge, or contact field, to us on Earth. "This endeavor has been going on for many years," he explained. "The process of building the bridge has involved a growing relationship of love, trust and unity of thought between the workers on Earth and in the spirit world." The technician said, "You are living in a time when truth is easily distorted and false speculations about eternal life are quickly passed out as the only truth. God prefers the seeker and those who question. No efforts are spared to advance human thinking and individual initiative from its slow animal instincts to a position of spiritual thinking." The technician plainly indicated that, while the communication project directed from the other side was scientific in nature, it was also spiritual and that he was the philosophic mentor of the spirit research team. "As ITC advances, Earth is gaining ever easier access to current descriptions of the afterworld, complete with hard evidence, to supplement the rich religious descriptions of human heritage. At last our scientists could ask, what kind of life can man expect on the other side? And have a good chance for a realistic reply. What we have learned so far is that the physical universe is but a small part of creation, that all worlds throughout this immense universe are composed of pure consciousness, and that the number one law of life everywhere is, thoughts create reality. We have received pages of computer text describing lush landscapes with beautiful, fragrant flowers, ponds, lakes, mountains, butterflies, birds, animals, and even deceased family pets waiting for their owners. Television pictures beamed to Earth show the landscapes and people interacting in those landscapes. Researchers on the other side tell us that children who die on Earth arrive on the mid-astral plane or the third plane and are either cared for by relatives who have died before them or they are cared for by people who love children. See Chapter 5 for description of spirit planes.